Gareth Smith, but everyone calls me Gaz. I actually knew No Fit State before they were No Fit State because I was at college with Ali and Tom and everyone. And so therefore they were already people who I hung out with before they decided to run away and make a circus or stay here and make a circus even. That was at the University in Cardiff. I think it was called University College Cardiff in those days. It's changed since then. I was studying biochemistry. Absolutely nothing to do with them other than being friends with them and doing other things, but I had other sort of things on in my life that were going on, so I was watching them from afar and enjoying and going to see the shows and cheering when they juggled on the street and did street performance. But no, I didn't really take part. I wasn't in Balzac or anything like that, no. When they first got the blue tent, they always needed people to help putting it up at various events. So I did a little bit of hammering stakes and things like that. We did some work with Autogeddon and helped with some cars. I did a sculpture structure thing for Now Here in Stepping Stones 2, which was the great, the Oracle, I think it was called, which is like a giant eye on one face and a giant something on the other that I can't quite remember. So I worked with Andy Davis and with Della on building this structure, which we hung in the warehouse. Then what happened? I decided in 2000 to get smarten myself up. My own profession is I'm a science communicator, so I build hands-on science exhibits for science museums and things like that. But I wanted to increase my overall knowledge of the subject, so I went back to college and did a master's in science communication, and while doing that taught me all about how to write grant applications. So after coming out of the MSc, with an MSc I'd like to point out, I talked to Ali about this, and Ali was doing her arts management course then, and she had to write a business plan as part of that. So we hatched this plan because we knew that Science Year was coming up, which there were quite a few grants around for science communication projects then. And we hatched a plan to put in a proposal to develop a thing called SciCircus for Science Year, which was coming up the next year. So we together wrote the application for funding, and Ali wrote a brilliant business plan, which I think she got a first in that part of her course. And we sent it off and crossed our fingers, and we were invited up for interview in London. We both went up to London all a bit nervous and everything, and they actually made us the flagship project of Science Year grant giving. They gave us the most amount of funding of any other project for Science Year, which was just amazing. I mean, I can't remember exactly how much it was. I don't think it was a huge amount. I think it was about 75,000 or something like that, but my memory's hazy on this. May have been a bit more. And then we applied to Wales Science Year, which had its own pot of money, and they bumped us up with a few more thousand, I think another 10,000 or 15,000, and there we were with the funding. It was from Science Year. It was overseen by NESTA, but it was an offshoot of NESTA. NESTA was is the National Endowment for Science, Technology and the Arts. They were a massive grant-giving body in those days. They seem to have changed these days to more of funding business startups and things like that. They're more into entrepreneurial activity than to giving people fun things to do. But that was then, and it wasn't they that directly gave the grant. They, because it was Science Year, they'd funded Science Year as its own entity, so it was almost like an offshoot of NESTA called Science Year UK or something like right. that. We had auditions, and that was great for me because I've never sat in on anything like that before. And we auditioned a whole load of people to see what their skills were. And I asked them, you know, what they felt about science, whether they, you know, if they were interviewed somewhere down the road, would they say they really liked science or if they thought it was rubbish. And hopefully we weeded out the ones who said it was rubbish. But none of them really did. They were all lovely people and all really good. And we picked what I thought was a really remarkably talented group of people, considering we weren't actually paying very much for any of us to do this. So once we had the team in, we set the blue tent up down towards Bridge End, it was, I think, in a field. And then we just started building. And also, yeah, No Fit State had a workshop, a sort of storage place, which was an old garage down near the Four Elms in Cardiff. So I worked both in there to do some woodwork and down in when the tent got set up to build a whole load of hands-on exhibits to put in the tent. In the meantime, the performers were developing the show with direction from Peter Lilly. That was her name, the director. Ali and I met her in London. I think, we went up to sort of sound her out, and she seemed quite excited by the project, but I think we nearly killed her. I think No Fit State can have that effect on some directors who aren't quite ready for them. She was working with them to develop the show. And then we all got together, and I installed the exhibits into the tent while we were down in Bridgend, and we made structures to hang things, and so the whole concept of the show, Sean Donoghue developed I think he called it the texture for the show. Between him and Tom, they invented this look for the show, and the whole concept was a sort of faded Victorian sideshow science type exhibition where there was as you can imagine, people were quite keen on science in the Victorian days. It was, the thing of the future. And so we were sort of like a slightly seedy, down at heel, perhaps, Victorian circus sideshow thing. So within the blue tent, we had tents as well, which had little zones in them. And so some of the tents were dark, so I had some dark exhibits in them. Some of them spun, which was an optical illusion. I built a sort of a hall of mirrors type thing, and I can't believe we did it on the budget. These days you would just look at the budget and think no, it's impossible, but we scraped and borrowed. Even some of the stands for the exhibits, I think I blagged from British Gas. Those great big gas tubes, those big yellow pipes made of plastic, they became the stands for the exhibits because they were heavy enough that they wouldn't fall over easily, and that made them quite safe for the public to play with. We decided to go off on tour. Not decided, we had the tour booked, obviously through the skills of whichever tour manager we had. Away we went, and to me, for starters, it was the first time I'd actually been on a circus tour. It was possibly the hardest work I've ever done in my life. Still think I've got a bad back because of it. The feedback and the joy of doing it were just brilliant. And I kind of think I've got a rose-tinted view of it now, because I do remember some mornings waking up when it was hammering with rain and we were in the Lake District and the tent had flooded. I think we were the first tent that had flooring in it just before the Coming Out Alive Immortal, which I think started in Butte Park, because we finished in the castle, at the Children's Festival in the castle in Cardiff. And so, yes, we went off on tour, and some days were hard and some days were great, but overall, the feedback from the public, because I was keen at evaluating it from a science communicator's perspective as opposed to a circus performer's perspective, was absolutely fantastic. And we were engaging with people who were really not normally associated with science communication. They were people who wouldn't go to a science museum normally, they wouldn't go to a science show, but because it was snuck in under the disguise of circus, and of course it was a fantastic circus show too, that I must say is first and foremost why people loved it, because it was a great show, really charming, really lovely. The evaluation was fantastic, and then we were hitting all of these targets that I personally hold important, which are people who aren't interested in science. And we did Glastonbury Festival. We were the first science communication vehicle to go to Glastonbury Festival, which to me was a feather in the cap. I mean, I see things coming on some of the email chat sites I'm signed up to, which are for science communicating geeks like me. And people are saying, oh, we've got some funding to go to Glastonbury. And I'm thinking, yeah, we did it in 2002. Yeah. And we had the full page picture in the programme, which again, I'm overly proud of. It's something that I'll probably... Mm. I've still got the programme. I have been meaning to frame it. Because I was in charge of the finale of the show was a sort of cherub plane thing that we'd built that went round one of the king poles, which had a sort of Heath Robinson-style big wheel at the bottom that you wound around to make it the performer spin, and I was ended up being in charge of winding that around. We also built a massive arch bridge out of polystyrene blocks, which Tom designed, and somebody cut them to the right shape, and we scrimmed them, and that was fantastic. That's the bit, as somebody who builds arch bridges for a living, not all the time, of course, but I've built a few in my life. That was the biggest and best one I've ever been associated with, because we would put in the interval, we would put children on a lunge, and they would go over it, and they loved it. It was really, really beautiful. And Peter's music really added to it. The whole thing was quirky and charming. And what it convinced me of was the power, not necessarily of just circus, but the power of theatre and science communication. And I'd like to say that right now, these days, I'm in a theatre show that does science communication, but my whole career since Sci Circus has been pushing towards this theatricality thing, which a lot of the lessons I learned through Sci Circus have informed my life since. Coming out, when we finished the tour, we finished in Cardiff Castle, which again, for me, I was really proud of, actually being able to live in my caravan inside Cardiff Castle. There's not many people that can say that in their lives. And when we finished, it was almost like, you know, what do I do now? It was like coming out of the army, I think, being demobbed, because when you're on the tour, you just have your jobs for the day, and you know that when you get what you've got to do, there's not much independent thought, which you kind of get into that groove of getting up and doing your jobs and doing your shows, or you really miss it. You miss the community when you finish. And it was a little bit hard at first, but of course, because the Immortal was on there was loads of other circus people around doing stuff, so there's always things to get involved with and help out with. And possibly one of the things I've done in my life that I'm proudest of. I think it was the first tented promenade performance. I think after their experiments with Ortageddon and now here, that we decided, and I didn't know this at the time, but I think they had it in mind for Immortal again in the big silver tent. I don't know whether we were a testing board or whatever, but it worked really well because of these exhibits that I'd built were dotted around the tent. It meant that people could mill around and do things. There were always things to tinker with and things to look at, and wherever you were, there was something to keep you interested. It was kind of lovely, really good fun. You could walk around them, you could be one side of them, you could be the other. And I found that at this time it was almost democratic, because particularly as we did a lot of shows for school children, all the keen ones would get to the front for the one stage, and then of course they would have to be at the back for the second ones, and the ones who were a little bit slower or a little bit less inclined to be keenies would get to have the best view for the second act and things like that. And I really liked that. Have I been involved in any other plot or activity since Sci Circus? Well, like I say, I now am in a theatre show which does science communication, but there isn't much circus in it. I've always wanted to bring circus back and do another sort of project that involved it. And Ali and I have discussed it many times, but we've never been in the right place at the right time, with Ali being incredibly busy and I'm not that unbusy myself. But it's in the back of my head. I do swear that before I die, I will do some other circus type project, hopefully with Ali, hopefully with No Fit State, or at least sort of maybe produced by No Fit State if they don't want to get themselves involved, put their name on it.